This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Gracious God, as we now join your Son on his journey to Jerusalem and the cross, keep us ever mindful of his purpose that is also ours, to be an instrument of your love. We pray in the name of him who loved us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Good morning. I heard the story of two gentlemen who weren't exactly churchy kind of folks, and they were going bar hopping. And they were going from bar to bar, and when they got about midway between the bars, they realized they were out of money. What are we going to do? Well, as they walked, they talked, and they saw a marquee on a Salvation Army church. And the sign said, "We give $200 to everybody who converts." They talk about this. Sounds like a good deal. They debate who should be the one to go in. Well, one of them ends up going in while the other one waits. And while the one is in there, the other one's outside impatiently looking at his watch. 10 minutes go by, 15, 20, 30. Finally, after 45 minutes, the guy finally comes back out, and he's all excited. The guy who was waiting outside, and he says, "Did you get the money? Did you get the money?" And the other guy says, "All you unchristian people ever think about is money." What does it mean to be Christian? Ultimately, that is what these 40 days of love are all about that we begin today. We have sang and said umpteen times over the years, they will know we are Christians by our love. That is the ultimate test, the ultimate litmus test if we are being what God calls us to be, love. When you think about it, we all have 80 years, 90 years, if you're like Ruby, 100 plus years to spend on this earth. Did it ever strike you that maybe wouldn't it be easier if God just from the womb just grabbed us up and put us up in heaven? After all, God, if that's what you want to happen, why don't you just do it? There is this interim time. There is this time that we are enabled and empowered and given the gift from God that we can be like God. That God loves us so much, he wants us to be able to be like God by learning to love. And so it's pretty important. It's crucial. As we say over and over again from Corinthians in these 40 days, love as if your life depended on it, because it does. When all is said and done and we get up to those pearly gates and whoever it is greets there, God and all the saints are not interested in how much money we made, how successful we were in our career. There's only one question. Did you love? Remember Jesus' response. The whole law comes down to two things. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So here we are in this first Sunday of Lent, and here's Jesus. And Jesus gives us this perfect example of living that out. We hear these words from Mark's gospel, and here is Jesus. We had that mountaintop experience last week at the Transfiguration. Now we back ourselves up. Jesus, after being baptized in the Jordan by John, don't miss the significance of any phrase in Mark's gospel, because it all has such rich meaning. The voice of God comes immediately after Jesus chooses to be baptized by John. It is his commitment. It is his willingness that he is going to do what God has asked him to do. that same commitment that will get reiterated in the Gospel of the Transfiguration that we looked at last week. But here he is, his initial willingness to say, yes, I will do, Father, what you want me to do. And what happens immediately, he hears the Father's voice of approval. You go, Jesus, you're my boy, you're my beloved. And off he goes. Now, the next significant thing is here's where it comes in so to play with what we're talking about with these 40 days. Immediately, the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. 40 days. 40 days Jesus is going to spend. And he's going to spend it working on his relationship with God. Jesus realizes that that which he has committed himself to, there is no way he is going to be able to be faithful to that and to continue to love all of these bozo people who he's even going to choose for his disciples unless he remains firmly rooted in his relationship with his Father. And so he goes out and he prays. And if you look at the Gospels constantly, Jesus is going to be going back to renew, to reinvigorate himself, because from that realization of how much his Father loves him, that is what enables him to be faithful in his mission of love to other people. And if it's that way for Jesus, boy, do we need to do it ourselves. So the number one question for us as we begin these 40 days is a simple one. How's your relationship with God? Are you spending time? Are you praying? Are you being faithful to that? I would guarantee if you're having trouble loving another person right now, look back on how your relationship with God is, and I bet you there's a link. Jesus starts there, and we need to start there as well. Now, it doesn't stop there. It just begins there. What happens next in Mark's gospel? To be tempted by the devil. Now, I want to do a little aside here, but it really fits in with what we're trying to do. The second part of this is when we start talking about loving our neighbor as ourselves. The devil is going to show up whenever we have made or renewed a commitment to do something that's going to further our journey with Christ. It happened with Jesus. Think about this. The devil doesn't care. Evil doesn't care if there's nothing good going on. It's when you start taking a step towards God that the devil wants to pull you back and stop it. That's simple. It happened with Jesus. It's going to happen with us. This has practical considerations for us. A lot of you made Lenten resolutions. Hopefully you're making some in terms of the relationships of the love in your life that you have. The devil's going to show up pretty quick. Simple example. If you give up smoking, I guarantee you the first cocktail party you go to, the first offering you're going to get from somebody is, would you like a smoke? You give up drinking because you think you may have a problem with it. You're going to have so many opportunities to have it, you're going to be amazed. You give up chocolate for Lent, and you're going to find it on every table in the house. You make a commitment to somebody. You get engaged, or you say, this is going to be a one-on-one relationship. And I guarantee you, the next time you're out at dinner, you are going to see the most gorgeous guy you ever saw in your life. You decide that somebody who's hard to love, that I am going to do my best. I'm going to specifically pray for that person. I am going to go out of my way to be the most loving example to that person that one could possibly be. I guarantee you, within one day, that person is going to do something or say something that's going to make you so angry, it's a temptation. Now, the thing is this, it's all in our outlook. Those are opportunities that God is giving us. These years we have on this earth are years of practice learning how to love. And when we make these commitments, those opportunities are there because God wants us to have the opportunity to say, yes, I made this commitment and here's an opportunity to put it into practice. And we need to remember that. When we start thinking and praying and acting, we're going to find pretty soon that people are going to disappoint us. And as that poem goes, love them anyway. People are going to make us angry. Love them anyway. People are going to let us down. Love them anyway. That's what Jesus does. He stays rooted in that life of prayer and is able to continue to love even when they all walk away and abandon him. Now, the thing for us in this idea of Christian community is that we need to be a reconciling community. We are called to forgive one another. None of us is perfect. None of us gets it perfectly all the time. I, your priest, am a sinner. You, the congregation, are sinners. We are all. There's only one person who ever got it perfect. And so somewhere along the line, we are going to do things intentionally or unintentionally that are going to make other people angry with us and disappointed in us. The whole clue of a Christian community is that that doesn't mean our relationship is ended and we walk away. It means that the person that has fallen, the other person can help to lift them up. We can dust each other off. We say, I am sorry, and we move on. And it is in that that people will be able to say, see how these Christians love one another? Do you know what he did to her? And she is still in relationship with him? After that, they forgave each other. And so it comes to this. You get it every year. The purple cards. If you are new to St. Joseph's, here is the concept. It's a business-sized card. We know that at times we do things that hurt other people. And when we become aware of that, we want to seek forgiveness. You hand that particular person one of these purple cards. On this one side, it says, please forgive me. Now, if we live in a perfect Christian relationship world, the person flips that card over, and it says on the back, I forgive you, and they hand it back to you. Now, ideally, if we are living out the way Christ calls us to live, you only need one of these cards. Because every time, literally or metaphorically, you ask, please forgive me, you get the I forgive you back. It is not easy. I don't intend to say that this is easy, but it is the only way that we can be a community of love. Now, unfortunately, in my position, I upset a lot of people all at once, so I have to have more than one of these. But I don't think I've ever not gotten it back, either literally or metaphorically. Sometimes it's been hard for me when I receive one to give it back. But I know. I reflect on that relationship of a God who loves me enough that despite some of the things I do or don't do, gives his own son for me, it becomes a lot easier. Stay in touch with your God, and forgiveness will come a lot easier. Now we move on. Love calls us to action, to do things. Jesus in this gospel is going to finish after he comes back, and it says, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee. Don't miss Mark's significance. Every phrase he uses has a meaning. John was arrested. What was John preaching? Repent and believe the good news. What is Jesus going to preach? Repent and believe the good news. Jesus knows the risk that is involved. Look what they did to John. And here I come, going to do the same thing. But Jesus undergoes that risk, knowing this is what God has called me to. This is the love that God has given to me. And I am going to go and share it with the world. Does he go into action? You betcha. In Mark's gospel, the word immediately or at once occurs over and over again. Mark can't give us enough of the significance of how Jesus is loving and loving and loving. He's going to come home. He's going to go to the synagogue, if you remember, later in that chapter and preach. Remember I showed you the picture? Then he goes over to Peter's mother-in-law's house across the street and he heals her. Then all these people come from all over the place and he's teaching and he's healing into the wee hours of the night. And it goes on. And then what happens? Early the next morning, before anybody is awake, what does Jesus do? He goes out to a lonely place to pray. He continues that connection. Loving God, loving neighbor. You know, there really wasn't a significance with Jesus saying those two things. You can find them in Deuteronomy and in Leviticus in the Old Testament. The crucial nature of Jesus' teaching is an understanding that you can't have one without the other. They feed off of each other. You stay in touch with the God who loves you unconditionally. It enables us to love neighbor unconditionally. We love neighbor unconditionally, and it calls us back to that relationship with our God. It's the only way to do it. Lastly, love is time. Spending time. In the materials for this day, they tell the story of George McGovern. If you remember, he was a candidate for president many years ago. And he tells the story of his daughter. His daughter, Terry, died in 1994. She was an alcoholic. They found her frozen to death in a snowdrift in a drunken stupor. After she died, George McGovern pored over her diaries that they found and contacted many of her friends and discovered that he hadn't been the parent that he thought he'd been. Reading her diaries, he found that while he was spending 18 hours a day working for his political cause, Terry was writing in her diary this: how much she missed her daddy, how much she didn't think he cared about her anyway. Then he writes this poignant quote in his book: I'd give everything I have, and I mean everything, for one more afternoon with Terry. Just to let her know how much I loved her and to have one more of those happy times that we had so infrequently. It's about spending time. We've talked about how we can't have a relationship with God unless we spend time with God. We can't have a relationship with those whom we say we love unless we spend quality time with them. When you look at the Gospels, and you look at what Jesus does, a lot of the healing that takes place, I think, takes place just because for once in that person's life, somebody stopped and looked into their eyes and into their heart, and in doing so, in that short amount of time, said, your life has value, that you are a beloved child of God. Look at all of those stories of the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, that man by Bethsaida who was there for 30 plus years, and finally Jesus is the one who looks and talks to him. The healing took place when he got in the water, but the healing took place before that. Spending time. The materials this week ask us about a person in our life who has most often mirrored God's love to us, something like that. And when I read that particular thing and reflected on it, as a lot of you will do in your small groups this week, the one that came to mind immediately from my past, is most of you would know, is my father. My father was a lover of people. He had 7 kids and he loved each one of us incredibly as much as he loved anyone. And there was a particular time when it was about 4th grade and I had signed up for a baseball team. And my dad surprised me that he was going to be one of the coaches. What a special thing. The problem was that my dad got off work at 5 and the games always started at 5:30. Dad usually would not get there until the 3rd inning or beyond. Well, this particular day, we were playing this team that had this hotshot pitcher that everybody thought was going to make it into the major leagues. He was one of those guys that if you play Little League or your kids do, when he would wind up to throw the ball, the kids would be backing away because they're scared it's going to hit them. That's the kind of thing, and that's the way. This guy must have thrown the ball 100 miles an hour. Well, guess who they decided was going to bat first that day? Somehow, the pitch came, and I whacked it over the head of the outfielder. I ran all the way around and made it to third base. And there, the manager of the team was so excited. He was so excited. And this is what was so cool about my recollection of this story. He was not so excited that I had actually hit that ball and made it to third base. He was excited because he had seen my dad come over the hill and start coming down towards the field right before I hit the ball. He was excited because he knew my dad saw what happened. And I reflect on that and think, wow. Not only do I have a father who cares that much and wants to spend that time with me, but it effuses so much from him that other people are just as excited because they know how excited he is. Spending time. Now, there's homework that we get with the 40 days of love. Whether or not you're in a small group, we all get it. The homework this week is very simple. We are asked to spend 5 minutes of quality time each day this week with the people in our lives who are closest to us in our relationship of love. Whether that's our spouse, our kids, our neighbors, if we live alone, our closest friends, 5 minutes. No TV, no computer, no radio on. 5 minutes to look into that person's heart, to listen to them, to make that connection with them. And I guarantee you, if we do that this week, when Father William preaches next weekend on chapter 2, you will be incredibly invigorated and renewed in your love, not only for those people, but for God as well. May it be so for us. Amen.